And welcome back. Welcome to Module 10. You know, this marks the second half of the program. You've made it through the first half. You've made it through a lot of information. You've made it through 9 modules. Now with Module 10, we continue learning interesting information which you can apply to your life. But I want you to pause for a moment. Just give yourself a hearty pat on the back and a congratulations because you have gone where others have not. Many people get a program to change themselves, to change the way they think about themselves and their possibilities. And what do? They just look at it. It just sits there. Sometimes month after month or year after year, it just sits there and they don't do anything with it. You're different than that. If you've come this far, you are different than that. So I want you to have the fortitude and the courage and the ambition to finish this program, to go the rest of the way. And I want to congratulate you for making it this far. I'm Steve G. Jones, clinical hypnotherapist, your tour guide, as we continue learning and growing and reaching higher and higher and understanding more and more about how the world sees us and how we can now see the world in a new light because we can take charge of the world. We can take charge of our lives. Certainly you won't control everything that goes on around you. That simply doesn't happen. But you, with your big bag of tricks, with your big toolbox, will be able to literally get anyone to do anything anytime because you will have enough tools at your disposal to make that happen. Okay, in this module, I want to talk specifically about dating. Now, I'm not going to reiterate a lot of the other information which I've given you, which can be used for dating. I want to talk about other information about dating. So realize that the modules you've already covered have talked extensively about all sorts of tools and tricks and techniques that you can use to enhance your dating life. But now I want to talk specifically about other things that have to do with dating. I'll recap a little bit, but I want to go into new territory for you so that you'll understand from a well-rounded perspective just what's involved in dating successfully. Because I imagine that you may have dated. I don't know. Maybe you're in a relationship. Maybe you can share this module with someone else if you're already in a wonderful relationship. But I would imagine that at some point you have dated or you are dating or you'd like to date in the future perhaps. So this can help you. Okay, everything starts with confidence. We talked about that at the beginning of this program, and I'm going to reiterate it here for dating. Everything starts with confidence. You need to get over your fear. You need to appear confident. And you need to understand the difference between real confidence and false confidence. In a later module, I'm going to give you information about programming yourself through hypnosis, programming yourself for confidence. Confidence that you can use in the moment when you're in your interaction with somebody face to face or on the phone or even texting or through email. You have to have confidence. So I'm going to show you how to program yourself with hypnosis by hypnotizing yourself to make yourself confident. We already looked at anchoring for confidence. But I want to tell you, there's a definite difference, meaning a difference that people will pick up on, a difference between real confidence and the appearance of confidence. You see, the appearance of confidence would be something like having a really nice car. There's nothing wrong with having a really nice car. I think it's a wonderful idea. I think you should have the nicest car that you can afford. Why not? As long as it's not a drain on your bank account, why not have the best? Of course you should. But what I mean is having that instead of having confidence, letting that take the place of your confidence. Okay, here's me, and I'm this way, but my car is very confident, and I'm with my car. Look at me inside my car. Here I am. But yet I'm not really confident. My car is confident. My car says confidence. But if I'm saying something else, then guess what happens? It looks like I'm covering up for the fact that I'm not really confident at all. It's like having a big brother go to school with you, and he's fighting all your battles. Well, that doesn't negate the fact that you are apparently not capable of fighting those battles yourself. You're not fooling anyone. Perhaps it's a necessary situation that this person does this for you. But as we become adults, it's no longer necessary to have someone else fight our battles or to have some object portray who we wish we were. If you're confident, it doesn't matter what kind of vehicle you're driving. It doesn't really matter what kind of clothes you're wearing. We're going to talk about clothes and hygiene, but I want to make it clear to you that confidence speaks more loudly than any of this. Perhaps you've seen men or women who are very confident, who seem like they just put on clothes from a garage sale, and they are very successful in dating and very successful in life. I see these examples constantly as I look around. Why is it that if you take a confident person and put them in clothes that seem to be not confident at all, seems like something maybe a homeless person would wear, why is it that they still seem confident? It's the same principle as taking a diamond and putting it in the mud. It's still a diamond. It's a diamond in the mud. The diamond hasn't changed. Now, the presentation, as we'll look at later, can be important, but people can still see that that is a diamond. So if you have true, unstoppable confidence, it really matters very little what you're wearing or driving, where you live, any of that. The most important thing is what you are, and people see that. Now, again, that's not to say that it's not important to have a nice car, a nice home, nice clothing, good hygiene. That is important. But my point here is that confidence is the most important thing in dating and the most important thing in life. So let's take a look at true confidence and what it really means. Well, someone who's truly confident knows what they want. They have a definite point of view. If you're in a dating situation and you're talking with them, and you're trying to figure out what they want, what they think would be cool or fun or good, and you're basing your reactions off of that, well, guess what? You no longer look like a diamond. You look more like a piece of plastic, a transparent piece of plastic that lets through any light that wants to shine through it. You look like something that can't stand on its own, something flimsy. You need to be rock solid in what you believe in. Now, certain areas you'll have an open mind in, of course. But decide what you believe in. What are your core beliefs? Is one of your core beliefs that you don't have any core beliefs? Well, that could be fine. But at least that's something solid. You have solidly decided not to be solid, rather than just being wishy-washy. There's a big difference between being wishy-washy and deciding that you're not going to decide. But beyond that, you probably have opinions about certain things. If you think about it, you can probably come up with your true opinion on who should be president or who shouldn't, what color you like, what number you like, what kind of food you like. You see, in a dating situation, this information matters. Because eventually, especially in society, if you're a male, you could be male or female, this information will apply to you either way, but especially if you're a male in society, And you have a question before you. Where would you like to go to eat? If you say, where would you like to go to eat? You have not answered the question. And the reason you haven't answered the question is probably one of two reasons. A, you're afraid to answer the question because you might answer a quote-unquote wrong. Or B, you just don't have an opinion because it doesn't matter to you where you go to eat. So take a few moments tonight before you go to sleep and think about your core beliefs, your core values, and make sure you're ready to present them. Now let's look at other factors which can be a part of making you appear confident. Now, the idea behind this, as we'll talk about in later modules, is that you will actually be confident, and all of these other accessories will just be icing on the cake. But they are important, in my opinion, accessories. Because, let's face it, if there are two people equally confident, but one has made slightly more appropriate clothing choices, one has actually brushed his teeth, whereas the other one hasn't, one has combed his or her hair, the other one hasn't, then we have two different people. One is perceived as more confident or more valuable or more likely to be approached, and the other one is not. They've put themselves on different levels. Even though they're both diamonds, one is mounted on a ring that's not so hot. So let's make sure we have a solid personality with solid beliefs, and we're putting that personality on a nice ring. The ring consists of things such as smiling. Why not have a smile? Now, especially if you're a guy, and many times if you're a female, you may think smiling is weakness. Well, I want to tell you that smiling in dating can be essential. Smiling allows for that first interaction. It gives the other person a signal that this person might be safe to talk to. It might be okay to approach them. It might be okay to start a conversation with them. If there's no smile, you're going to drastically limit your dating possibilities. Standing up straight. If you have bad posture, which I have had in the past, by the way, but if you slouch a lot when you sit or when you stand, this does a couple of things. Number one, it makes you shorter, which may or may not be bad, but it does that. That's a physical effect of slouching, of having your back curved. Number two, it makes you look not as confident. Confident people stand up tall and proud. They're proud of who they are, and they want you to know it. They stand up tall. People look up to and follow people who stand upright. Height is something you can't change. We're talking about things you can change. But if you look at a lot of leaders in the past, Napoleon, for example, you find that height doesn't matter so much. We look at Abraham Lincoln versus Napoleon, a definite height difference. Yet they both had very similar power. The things you can't change, you need to let go of. The things you can change, you need to accentuate. Dress them up. Use them to your advantage. Eye contact. Now, if you're a lady, you know that making eye contact can lead to numerous things. Some women are careful to not make eye contact. However, if you're open for a dating situation, you need to learn to make eye contact, whether you're a male or a female. I have a good friend who's a psychologist, Dr. Sherry Zander, a wonderful person, and she has told me that when she teaches people to be dating confident, she has to remind the women to make eye contact, because so many times women, when they're interested in someone, will actually look away. Well, guess what? Women who aren't interested will also look away. So that gives the man nowhere to go. The person's looking away. I don't know what that means. It could mean she's interested, or it could mean she's not interested. So you're not really giving a solid signal by looking away at all. And I want to be clear here. I understand that I don't know your situation. There are some relationships that are same-sex relationships. I want you to know that if you happen to be in that situation, this information can apply as well. Just find out which of the things I'm saying apply to you and use them appropriately. I think you'll find they work just as well. Now, what if you're talking to someone? What can you do? Well, why not lean slightly forward? If you're interested in what someone's saying, you're leaning in to hear more. Even if you can hear fine, you're leaning in. You're interested. You're also taking that opportunity to get closer to them. If you're leaning back and your arms are folded, you're not interested, and you're clearly telegraphing that. Unfold your arms and lean in. Handshake. Now, a woman might think that a handshake is not very important, that a strong, firm handshake isn't very ladylike. Well, I want to tell you, that's wrong. A firm handshake, whether you're a man or a woman, is very important. You have to make sure that you convey from the get-go, from the moment you meet, that you are a solid person, that you respect yourself. And nothing says that quite like the handshake. Now, perhaps there'll be a hug instead. You won't always use the handshake. But if there is a handshake, not just in dating, but in any situation, if there's a handshake, it needs to be the right kind of handshake. Don't give them what they call the floppy fish. Don't give them that. A person's holding out their hand for your hand, expecting a firm handshake, and it's like handing them a floppy fish. No one wants to have that put in their hand if they're expecting a hand to be put in their hand. Give them a firm handshake. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit more about eye contact. Eye contact is something so basic, yet so often overlooked. Animals make eye contact. The wrong type of eye contact can cause a fight. The right kind of eye contact can show interest. It's a basic animal instinct to look at someone in their eyes for various reasons. Now, if you look at human nature out in the human world where you can interact with people, you see this played out constantly. At nightclubs, people who are interested in each other will perhaps just take a stealing glance, as they call it, at somebody else, but they will look. And if you catch someone looking at you, realize that there is an interest. Maybe they were just interested in seeing what you look like, but they're interested to some degree, and you can work with that. They took the time to look in your direction. There is some sort of interest there. Now, ladies, understand that if you want someone to know that you're interested, you need to look. When dealing with guys, you need to look twice. We need to understand that there's a definite interest and that hopefully there's not someone else with you at that nightclub who might pose a problem. It's another thing to consider, gentlemen, the fact that there might be someone else. So the initial approach in any situation is very important, kind of going in low-key rather than saying, "Hi, would you like to marry me someday?" So let's look at examples from the real world. When we think of eye contact in the real world among humans, it is best correlated to the animal world when we look at exotic dancers. Now, you may not be a person who's interested in exotic dancers, and I certainly wouldn't frequent a place that had them, but I know that exotic dancers use eye contact. They use it for manipulation. female dancers can show a man that they're interested by looking at them. Of course, their goal is to get money. But they use eye contact in order to make sure that the gentlemen understand that there's an interest there, an interest in getting the $20 bill or the $100 bill, but at any rate, an interest. So you can learn something from that example. Eye contact can do so much in terms of controlling someone. If you are looking at them and they're looking back, then you have their interest. Now, the next step in eye contact is the smile. There should be a smile. If you're just looking at someone with a stone-cold stare, and they're looking back at you with a stone-cold stare, we can say that's eye contact, but we can't really decide how productive it could potentially be. As far as I can tell, if someone's looking at me with a stone-cold stare, maybe I cut them off in traffic, and now's their opportunity to tell me about it, which, by the way, could turn into a dating opportunity, but you're not starting off on the right foot. So smile. Make yourself smile. In a later module, you're going to have an opportunity to hypnotize yourself and program yourself for ultimate conversational hypnosis success. But keep in mind, when we get to that point, the smile is very important. And that can be so difficult sometimes for people. Unless they push through it, it can be difficult because they think that smile is a risk. What if this person's just looking at me because they don't like me or because there's something on my head that I should know about and it looks funny? Or maybe they're looking past me at the other person and I'm just in their line of vision. All of those things are possible, but the smile puts all doubt to rest. If you smile at someone and they smile back, you've got a connection. Now, ladies, at a nightclub, if you do this, next thing you know, you're getting a free drink. Gentlemen, if you do this, the next thing you know, you're able to walk over there and approach the lady. So eye contact is very important. Make sure it's followed up with a smile. What else is important in dating? Getting out of the house. If you are sitting inside on a Friday night or Saturday night and you're interested in dating people who would frequent nightclubs, then you're losing opportunities. If you're interested in people who go to church and you're not going to church, you're losing opportunities. If you're interested in more intellectual people who would perhaps go to a bookstore and you're not going to a bookstore, you're missing opportunities. If you're interested in people who would enjoy nature and go hiking or go to a park or go biking or kayaking or swimming, and you're not doing any of those activities, you're missing opportunities. Now, keep in mind, not all activities are equal. For example, if you've got a dog and you go out and walk it in the park, what a great opportunity to use your conversational hypnosis skills because you'll be meeting other dog owners. If you're riding a bike through a park and biking rather quickly, which I tend to do sometimes, you're not allowing yourself the opportunity to meet people. You're passing them by quickly. You're zooming by them. You might as well be in a bubble because how is anyone going to have the opportunity to talk to you? Hey, how you doing? Okay, see you later. An interaction of the dating sort is probably not going to happen if you're on a bicycle. Also, kayaking. If you're taking a kayak out by yourself where there are no other kayakers, well, what good does that do you in terms of dating? You might say, I'm an outdoorsman or an outdoors woman, and I'm biking and kayaking. Don't know why I'm not meeting other outdoorsy types. Well, the reason is that you're doing isolated events. You're doing events which are done privately by yourself, and they don't involve interaction. If you actually want interaction, join a group of bicyclists or join a group that's going out kayaking. There are groups for everything, no matter where you live, no matter what country, what state, there are always groups of people who are interested in what you are interested in. If you have a kayak and you use it near your home, that means other people are doing that as well. Unless you are living off in the mountains on a stream somewhere all by yourself, there are probably a lot of people out there doing similar activities. So avoid doing activities in isolation. You may feel you're among people, but really you're not. There's a wall or a bubble that separates you and isolates you, and it's working against you. Let's talk about making friends and interacting with people. You may think, as a man or a woman, that you need to focus only on your potential love interest, that if you see him or her, you can walk right up to him or her and start a relationship from the ground up, or at least try to, see if it works, and if not, go on to the next. Well, that's true. That's one way to approach that. But you're really limiting yourself, because you either get a yes or a no. Are you interested? Can I have your phone number? That sort of thing. And you get a yes or no, and then you're moving on. You haven't gained anything from that experience. A better way to approach the dating scene is to have a large group of friends, both of the sex that you're interested in and of the sex that you're not interested in. You have a large group of friends, a pool of friends. You may or may not hit it off with any of those friends. It could happen. Maybe it will. Maybe it won't. However, they have friends. They all have friends. Friends you haven't even met yet. And they're going to get a pretty good idea of who you are and what you're all about. And they're going to know that you're single. They are going to start their matchmaking wheels turning, and they're going to think of someone who might be good for you. Now, you may not agree with their choice, and that's fine. But the idea is that when you know, let's say, 10 friends, you also have an invisible to you, invisible access to all of their friends, friends you can't even see. So when you have 10 friends, it's more like having 100 friends. And when you have 100 friends, it's more like having 1,000 friends. And eventually, you will potentially meet the person with whom you might hit it off. So keep yourself busy socially, even if you're interacting with people who you're not really interested in dating. It doesn't matter, because they may have friends who you can eventually meet who would be great for you. But it all starts with getting out of the house, getting out there, making friends, being charming, understanding yourself, and letting go of those activities that isolate you. If you're swimming laps in a pool every morning at 5 a.m. just to beat the rush, well, first of all, swimming is a very isolated event. You're swimming laps. Your head is underwater a lot of the time. It would be hard for you to hear anyone, even if they were talking to you. Also, 5 a.m. to beat the rush. So there you are with your head underwater most of the time. And if there is anyone else there, they're probably also there to beat the rush. They're probably in a hurry. They probably have a plan. They want to get in and get out. They're probably people who are already in a relationship. They're not interested in meeting other people. They're not going to be interested in making small talk with you. After all, they have to be home and get to the office and get ready by 9 o'clock. They don't have time for this nonsense of talking. So if you're going to a gym, don't do it at the most efficient time, doing the most efficient activity. Go at a later time. Go after work, when everyone's relaxed. Maybe they have a volleyball team at the gym. People are relaxed after work, playing volleyball. That's the time to socially interact. Let's take a look specifically at the way you look. If it's possible right now, go and stand in front of a mirror, a full-length mirror if you have one. If you're driving, you don't need to do this, of course. But if it's possible right now, just stand in front of a full-length mirror. And let's take a good look at you. Now, who knows? Maybe it's early morning or a Sunday afternoon or some other odd time when you're not quite looking the way you would look when you present yourself to the world in your best light. But let's take a look at what we've got. And if you're able to, just imagine yourself dressed up for a date. Look at the person in the mirror, but imagine yourself looking your best. Take a look at that. Look at your clothes. Are you wearing clothes that give off the impression that you want to give off? Are you a relaxed, casual man or woman? If you are, do your clothes say that? Or do they say, I'm rather stuffy and uptight? What do your clothes say about you? If you are successful, if you've got money, or if you want to portray that you're successful and you have money, do your clothes say that? Now, you may think, and you may be right, that people can figure that out anyway, these things about you, but why make them guess? If you're actively dating and trying to get people to be interested in you, why are you playing a game with your clothes? Why are you hiding your true value? It doesn't make any sense. You need to dress appropriately for the image you want to portray. If you're telling someone you make $1 million a year, but you're dressed as a homeless person, it doesn't make sense. You know, Sam Waldron, the guy who started Walmart and Sam's, was a very wealthy man. I believe at one point he was one of the richest people in the world or the richest person or something like that. At any rate, he drove an old pickup truck and he didn't wear the nicest clothing. He dressed down. Well, you might think, I can be like Sam Waldron, because I have a lot of money, and I don't need to dress up. Well, I'll tell you what, that works really well if you're Sam Waldron. If your picture is on the cover of a major magazine, and your company is listed in a Fortune 500 listing, then you don't have to do anything. People know who you are. But if you're not a Sam Waldron, or a celebrity, or something on that level, people don't know who you are. They don't know anything about you. You have to provide social proof. Social proof can be so very valuable. Social proof, as you may remember, happens when several people form the same opinion about you, including the person you're interested in. And unless you're a celebrity or someone well-known, social proof has to happen in the moment. You can't think, oh, last night I dressed up and those people saw me. Where are those people now? If they're not there to say, hey, he's a really nice dresser, or she's a really nice dresser, then you don't have anything. You're starting from scratch every single time. So if you don't have time to become a celebrity or Sam Waldron between now and your next date, I suggest that you dress up. I suggest that you wear clothing that gives off the impression you're trying to give off. Now, it doesn't mean that you wear a suit and a tie if you're a man, or a dress if you're a woman. That's not what I mean by dressing up. What I mean is wearing the costume, if you will, of the character you want to portray. You portray a certain character in your life. And just as a person in a play, you have to wear the costume that portrays that character. If someone is in a play that has a king in it, and the king walks out dressed in rags, well, there's something wrong. The audience is going to pick up on that. I know this person's saying they're the king, they're giving orders, but they're not dressed like a king. I'm not buying it. If you're a king, dress like a king. If you're an athlete, dress like an athlete. Whatever it is you're trying to portray in that moment, make sure it's consistent with the way you look. To think it inside is very important, but to portray it on the outside and have congruency, that's even more important. Everything works together. Okay. Your shoes. Take a look at your shoes. And if you're not wearing the shoes you would wear on a date, imagine them. Now, I know there are different sorts of dates. You may have a tennis date with someone and a dinner date with someone else. Think of a type of date you'd go on and the type of shoes you would wear. What do they look like? If you're an athlete and you've got shoes that aren't in the best condition, they're worn, maybe the laces are broken in places or frayed, maybe there's stains on your shoes, you might want to think about getting new shoes. Tennis shoes are fine for a tennis date, but ratty, old, worn tennis shoes are not. They're not portraying you as you should portray yourself, which is someone who cares about himself or cares about herself. If you care about yourself, others will care about you. Let's take a look at your hair. Now, sometimes messy hair works. I lived in Los Angeles for 4 years, and on the days that I didn't do anything with my hair, just got out of bed and went out to eat, I felt like I fit in better. So it really depends on the time and the place. In different years, different styles are in. In different places, different styles are in. If you happen to live in a place where the mullet is fashionable, so be it. It's time to grow a mullet. If you happen to live in a place where messy hair is fashionable, well, that makes life a little easier for you. You can mess your hair up or just not comb it. Now, what if you don't have any hair? And this can be true of men or women. If you have little to no hair, that's fine, but make sure it looks neat. Make sure it looks appropriate. If you're trying to portray a tough image, and you're a man or a woman, and if you want to do that with shorter hair, that's fine, but make sure it's done the right way. Make sure it's trimmed appropriately. There aren't little tufts of hair here and there. Make sure it's done the right way. Think of it as preparing to go on stage, because, as they say, all the world is indeed a stage, and we are merely players, meaning people who portray other people, not players in the dating sense, although that may be true for you also, I don't know. But we are people in a play when we go out. People don't know who we are. Oftentimes, we just go out there. They may think they know. They may have seen us somewhere. But oftentimes, they're not really sure. We're just people, and that's fine. We have to show them who we are. And the way we show that is by dressing a certain way. By styling our hair, or lack of hair. If you have a bald head, that's fine. Make sure your bald head looks as good as it can look. If you need to put a hat on, put a hat on. If you need to shine your head or take the shine off of your head, do that. Do what it takes to look your best. Look at your face now. Look at your face. If you have trouble with this part, that's fine. So many people have trouble actually looking at their face in the mirror. But I want you to look at your face. I want you to love yourself. I want you to say that right now to yourself in the mirror. Say, I love you. That's right. Smile at yourself. That's right. Smile and say, I love you. Look at that. Person said it right back to you. They love you. You love them. Love yourself. Get comfortable with yourself. Love yourself. Now, since you love yourself, if you're a woman, make sure your makeup's right. Some men wear makeup too, and that's fine. Make sure everything's where it's supposed to be. What's your best feature? Are you proud of it? Is there a way to highlight it? What about facial hair? If you're a man with a goatee, is it shaved appropriately? Maybe you want it to look a little straggly, a little bit of a rough look. That's fine. But make sure that it's controlled. You did that on purpose. If you need to shave, go ahead and do so. Some women have facial hair. That's just a fact of life. And sometimes as women age, they get more facial hair. If that's the case, of course you want to take care of that. Take a good, honest look at yourself. Is there something that needs to be done? Do your teeth need to be whitened? Do you need to start trimming nose hairs? Do you need to have your eyebrows waxed? Do you have an eyebrow that goes all the way across your forehead? A unibrow, as it's called, one brow? Take care of it. I think it'll cost you about $8 to $10, maybe $15, at least in 2008, to take care of that. That's right. So many of my clients I've had to send for a simple waxing, and they look so much better. I'm training them in conversational hypnosis, yet they kind of look like they wouldn't even be able to form a sentence. And I tell them, you're not portraying yourself in the best possible light. Let's reveal the real you. Let's get that waxed. An age-appropriate haircut. An accentuation of your good features. Maybe you have beautiful teeth, but they're yellow. Make them white. I don't know of any culture, I may be wrong, but I don't know of any culture that prides itself on people with yellow teeth. Do you need braces? Even if you're an adult, you can still get braces. You can plan for the future. Sure, you'll be wearing braces for a couple of years or however long it takes, I don't know. But that day will come when the braces will come off. And your teeth, from that point on, will look as straight as they can. Are there any moles that need to be removed? Are there any extra teeth that need to be removed? Some people have an extra tooth in the front. That's fine, but why not have it removed? Take a good look at yourself. Give yourself some honest feedback. Understand that everything you do to enhance your appearance is helping you to reveal your true hidden beauty. Why are you hiding your beauty from the world? Do you wear enough makeup? Do you wear too much makeup? Men don't really appreciate when women wear too much makeup. It seems like they're trying to hide something. Now, if you actually have to hide something, that's fine. Do what you have to do. A lot of times, women wear too much makeup. Be careful about how much makeup you wear. And as I've said, sometimes men wear makeup. That's fine. But be careful, especially as a man. If you're a man who wears makeup, you do not want to get caught wearing makeup. So make sure that you're applying just enough, but not too much. Does that sound odd to you, that a man would wear makeup? Perhaps it does. But it's also possible that you're one of those people who might want to look into that. What about people who have acne? People who have blemishes. Again, not something that's considered to be attractive. It's okay if you do. You're still a good person, but cover it up as much as possible. Portray your most beautiful or your most handsome self. All right. Take a look now in that mirror at your hands. At both of them. How do they look? Are your nails dirty underneath? that's fine if you want to portray a person who's been working out in the field all day and you're a tough guy or a tough gal. That's fine. But understand that's what you're portraying. Someone who's been digging in the dirt or a mechanic. That's fine if you want to portray someone who digs in dirt or someone who's a mechanic. People find that type of work sexy in many cases. But that's if you want to portray that kind of person who just got off work and didn't have time to clean up properly. If you're a mechanic or if for whatever reason you have dirt under your nails, clean that dirt out if you're going out on a formal date. If you want to portray someone who's meeting someone after work, as I've said, that's fine. Otherwise, it's just not fine. Are your nails trimmed? You know, men get manicures too. Women get manicures and pedicures, but men can get manicures too. One of the things about getting a manicure, if you're a man, hey, look at that. The word man is a manicure, so you can feel confident, gentlemen, in getting a manicure. But if you're getting a manicure, one of the things you're going to discover is how to handle nail care on your own. So if you're a man or a woman who's never gotten a manicure, I suggest that you do that at least once. What you're going to learn is some information about the cuticle and information about controlling hangnails and information about keeping your nails looking healthy, cutting them back far enough, but not too far. If you bite your nails, stop biting your nails. Get my hypnosis recording for stopping nail biting. You need to stop destroying parts of your body that are trying to grow. You can trim them with nail cutters, but biting your nails is not a good idea. It doesn't show confidence, first of all, and even if you're not doing it in public, people can see that you have bitten your nails. It doesn't make you a bad or wrong person to do so, but it does diminish your social acceptability, your confidence. You don't look confident if you chew your nails. You don't really look well-groomed if you chew your nails. So stop biting your nails or cuticles from now on. And if you need my help, just get a hypnosis recording. We'll take care of that. So look at your hands. Are they dry? Do you need moisturizer? Even men sometimes need moisturizer. Look at your body as a whole. You know, in the 70s when I was growing up, and the 80s when I was a teenager, sun tanning was really popular. And I grew up in South Florida, and I enjoyed getting out there and lying in the sun, soaking it up. A couple times I got really bad sunburns. We had a pool, and I found out that if I would lie down in the pool on the steps, I could get the reflection of the sun off the water, and the sun itself would shine down on me. Now, I used SPF something. I think it was SPF 40, the stuff you put on your face and your body to block the damaging rays of the sun. But somehow, with all of that, in the South Florida sun, reflected off water, in the summertime, I managed to burn myself to the point of blistering a couple times. That's not uncommon for people who live in the South. These days, most people are very enlightened about the dangers of the sun. They understand, believe it or not, there's no such thing as a healthy tan. When you tan yourself, you're actually killing skin cells. That's how you become tan. But depending on your coloring, the pigmentation in your skin, different levels of exposure are going to be appropriate for you. I am very fair-skinned, so I properly protect myself with SPF 30, or if I'm going to be out on the water on a wave runner or at the beach, I will wear a hat, a wide-brimmed hat, and I will wear SPF 50. On my whole body, and I'll cover up as much of my body as I can with long sleeves, for example. Well, there are clothes, bathing suits included, that don't look funny when you have them as long pants or long sleeves. I just watched the Olympics recently, and the swimmers had long pants on. That was something new in this year's Olympics, in the 2008 Olympics. Well, they were still able to swim fine, and they looked completely natural, and nothing looked silly. In fact, for men, it looked more appropriate than wearing a bikini. So there are articles of clothing you can wear that allow you to cover up so that you don't have to use all these lotions on your skin all the time. My point is, you need to protect yourself from the sun. You may think that a tan today is going to enhance your dating possibilities this weekend, and you may be right, but you need to look at the long-term effects. Why not get a spray-on tan instead? You can buy them on the internet, and in some larger cities, you can actually go and have someone spray a tan on your entire body. It doesn't last long, which is fine, because you'll probably just need it for a couple nights in a row. And then it goes away, doing little to no damage. I've never heard of anyone having a bad experience with a spray-on tan. So why not? If you feel that you need to be darker, I suggest that you not turn to the sun as your answer, because the long-term effects of sun exposure are very bad. They're very detrimental, very bad for your skin. So when I say bad, I mean that you can actually cause skin cancer. At the time of making this recording, the presidential candidates are Barack Obama and John McCain. Now, at the time of this recording, I don't know who will be the next president. You perhaps do as you're listening to this, but I don't. But I do know that John McCain told a story of when he was surfing as a child. He was about 15 years old, and he loved getting a suntan. He loved getting that burn. The first part of summer, he would go out there and just get a good burn, and then that would form a layer for his tan that he would have later in the year. Now, when presidential candidate John McCain was a 15-year-old, that was a while ago, and that was thought to be fine. But later in life, he had to have skin removed from his face because of his overexposure to the sun. He paid a price. Whereas if they had spray-on tans back then, he would not have paid a price. So my point with all this is, do not turn to the sun for your tan if you feel you need one. You may not even need one. If you don't feel you need a tan, then you don't need a tan. Get yourself out of the sun. Do not sunbathe. That is my advice to you. As you go on in life and as you continue in ultimate conversational hypnosis, it would greatly benefit you to look your best the rest of your life. Tanning is not going to allow that to happen. So enough about dangers of the sun. I just see so many people getting a good suntan or going to these tanning beds before they go on a date. Both are very bad ideas, in my opinion. Okay, let's look at attitude. I don't think you can see that in the mirror, but maybe you can. What kind of attitude are you portraying? Can you see it? Are you feeling one thing and showing something else in your face? Are you feeling excitement and happiness that you have a dating opportunity and showing fear? Why are you doing that? That's right. What are you trying to portray? Trying to portray the bad boy or the bad girl? Let's see it on your face right now. What does that look like? Remember, even that bad boy or bad girl can smile when he or she finds a love interest. But let's see it. You want to walk in the room looking tough? Maybe you're a biker. Maybe you're wearing leather. You want to look tough, but you look scared. Let's see the attitude on your face. You want to portray confidence? You know, confidence doesn't come by holding your chin up in the air and not looking at anyone and speaking very properly. That's not what confidence looks like. That's not what confidence sounds like. That's what fear looks like, and that's what fear sounds like. A person who acts like that is afraid of being discovered, afraid of looking like he or she is not confident. True confidence looks like a relaxed person having fun, making jokes, interacting with others. That's what true confidence looks like. So, what does your face say about you? Take a good look and realize all the many options you have. Your face can do all sorts of things, but you need to start becoming aware of what it looks like when you think certain thoughts. Because people, maybe some people are mind readers, but most are not. Most people are not going to be able to read your mind to that degree where they're going to know exactly what you're trying to portray. I'm thinking of a confident person, yet I'm portraying someone who's very shy and weak. You're not going to see the thought in there. If the face is saying something else, they're going to stop at the face. They're going to say, I don't see the confidence. I see weakness and shyness. People do not respond well to either of those, weakness or shyness. You have to be a go-getter, and you have to portray that. That confidence needs to show on your face. So let's see it. Let's see a relaxed yet confident look. A confident person is comfortable in their own skin. They're comfortable. They're not looking all around for social acceptance. Sure, they want it, but they're not looking all around for it. Their eyes aren't darting around the room to see what other people think. They know what other people think. Other people think they're confident because they are portraying confidence. So you should be relaxed. Maybe have a little bit of a bounce in your walk, gentlemen. Not too much, but a little bit of a bounce in your walk. As you walk, you show people how confident you are. Think about, and this may really help you, think about someone that you look up to, someone who's very confident. We talked about this in a previous module, but think about someone who's very confident. How do they walk? How do they react? We talked about this during interrupting your patterns. Think about modeling the way you interact with people in general around this person. James Bond comes to mind. There's so many different James Bonds. My favorite one was Roger Moore. James Bond, no matter who's portraying him, is confident. Now, it's just an actor reading a script in a movie, doing take after take until he gets it right. But still, he is portrayed in the final product, the final movie, as someone confident. Think of a woman who's confident. Maybe Madonna. If you're a woman, you want to find a woman who's confident, someone who portrays what you want to portray, and start paying attention to what they do. Why do you think they're confident? What gives you that impression? Use that. Aha, they sit a certain way. Aha, they say things a certain way. Ah, their facial expressions are like that. Okay, now I see. You see, there's a science to looking confident. You can study it in other people. If you think someone looks confident, you can take that and make it your own. All right, we're going to wrap up this module now, and I'm going to talk more about dating in the next module. So guess what? No homework. Unless you want to do some homework, I'm going to save your homework until I'm all done talking about dating. So take a little break if you want to, or you can apply some of the techniques that you've learned in this module if you want. But I want you to join me in the next module. We're going to talk more about dating, this very important subject. And I'll tell you what, a lot of the reasons why people tell me that they buy Ultimate Conversational Hypnosis is for just that, dating. So we've got to make sure that we're covering it thoroughly. So join me in the next module. more about dating. I'm Steve G. Jones, clinical hypnotherapist, hoping you have an outstanding day.